I'm in John chapter 14, if you'll go there, and we'll get there in just a few minutes. Again, John chapter 14. Again, all the songs, whether planned or not, all dealt with love. You'll see the sermon does. And again, part of the sermon is going to be based on Dr. Chapman's book. I remember when we went up for choir practice a little while ago, Scott turned and looked at me and said, "Five love languages?" And I said, "Yeah." If you've never heard or read about the five languages of love, again, there is a book that you can get that's more lengthy and you can study it more than just the quick summary that I'm going to give you today. But every one of us here needs to be better at loving people, okay? We really do. And so again, it's not a bad topic to talk about. And again, we're talking here starting of how we love other people. Again, I would start with your marriage, start with your family, start with where you're at work. Again, learning how to love people. And again, the question comes up, and again, this is how the book goes. What is your love language? Okay, now you'll see where this is going. Okay, if you have never heard of this book, if you've never read this book, you'll see where it's going, and maybe it'll help you to be someone who loves better, or put it this way, your message of loving will get across better, okay, by some of the things that we're going to look at here this morning. Father, I pray you might help us. Lord, every one of us has people in our lives that we have to love, Lord, that you've put around us that need love. And Lord, I pray that we would effectively communicate love to them. And Lord, as we just heard, Lord, what we need to do is give your love. And Lord, may you give it through us to a world that needs love in such a special way, in such a needy way. Lord, teach us things here, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, the question I have is, how do you express love? Okay? As I go through this, I have answers to these questions for my life. And my answers are going to be different than your answers. Okay? They are. How do you express love? It's different. My wife and I differ on how we express love. Okay? We are different. We're not on the same page for this. Now, you might look at me and go, "Oh, there's nothing wrong with that." Probably most couples here aren't on the same page, okay? Which could cause a little problems if you don't understand it, okay? So how do you express love, okay? And maybe we should put this then, how do people around you like to receive love? Now here's what happens, okay? You express love this way, they're not hearing it because they believe it should be this way. Does that make sense to everybody? Okay? You're expressing love this way, and they're not hearing the language. They're speaking a different language. Now, again, you know what it's like when you put two people in the same situation and they speak different languages. Is anybody with me on that? Kind of confusing. I was in Panama not too long ago. I got in Panama a couple hours before the head group. My Spanish is okay. It's not great. It's okay. But I tell people I do know it's good enough that I can make it. Okay, if you put me in Panama, my Spanish is good enough to make it. I'm okay, but I struggle, okay? And I remember being in the airport, and somebody came to me and said, "You have to leave here." And I was trying to tell them in the best Spanish I had, "No," okay? My son said, "He will meet me here," okay? And I said to the guy, "Aquí," okay? "Aquí," okay? "Aquí." And so finally he got that, and he was like, "No, sí." So he was saying to me, "You stay right here." And then he pointed over here and said, "No, aquí." So I was like, then he went by a little bit later. And I go, "Aquí, I'm here." Not there. Okay? Because I knew that if I left the airport, I didn't know where to go. And my son wouldn't know where to find me. And cell phones don't work. But I was able to tell him, "Look, I will not be there. You know, not far away. Lejos, no, aquí." Okay, you know, and I was telling him, you know, my son, I was saying, "My son is coming. He's going to meet me here," you know, and then he would say, you know, "No, sí, sí," you know, so I stayed. I made it, but I'll tell you what, it was hard because we were both speaking different languages. And from time to time, you know, I threw an English word in there and he would be like, "Well," you know, and then one time I thought I was speaking Spanish and I threw some Greek words in. And then I was really out. You know, "That's Greek. I'm sorry." Okay. So, again, I was trying my best, but when two people don't speak the same language, communicating is hard, okay? And you may hear statements like this, "I don't think they love me anymore." Well, maybe they are. You're not on the same language level here. So, again, how do you express love, okay, and how do people like you receive it? I'm going to give you an illustration, okay? just so you understand how it works in combinations. And this is true. There was, and my family would tell you, attest to this, but there was a family in our church up there, and he lost his job. And while he had lost his job, he called me and said, "There's water pouring into my kitchen. Can you come over and help me?" And sure enough, it was coming from the roof. I walked up on the roof, and it was about winter time, and I mean, the back of the roof, there was hardly any roof left. The shingles were about gone. I was like, wow. So I had a few shingles, and I stuffed them up under some major holes, and then I got a blue tarp and stapled them on the back of the roof, you know, and said, I hope this holds for the winter. You know, move some cinder blocks up there to hold the tarp down when the winds get bad, and do the best you can. But, I mean, it's wintertime. We can't roof right now. It's terrible. And I said, the best thing you can do, if you can buy some shingles and some parts, I'll give you a parts list. And in the spring, as soon as we get a good day in the spring, I'll come over and tear the back of that roof off and get it on for you. And so it doesn't leak through the spring rains or whatever. And sure enough, he told me a while later, hey, you know, he had all the parts. They were under the deck. And if that day ever came, let him know. And whatever, he would do that. And sure enough, a March day came. It looked good. And he had found some temporary work. So he said, I'm not available. I said, well, Curtis and I will come over. And I think Curtis was 9 years old. And Curtis and I went over. And in the morning, we ripped off the whole back of the roof and reshingled it. Okay, I tell people, 9 year old and myself, and you can imagine the 9 year old wasn't carrying the shingle bundles up over the ladder. Okay, I did not have you, Jason. Why? Where were you? Okay, but and we got the whole back of the roof on. The next day was a good day, so his two sons showed up, and we got the front off and got it all on and got him done there or whatever. And I don't know if anybody, roofing's hard work. Okay, and we got the roof on. I don't know how much later it was, but not that long ago. Later then or whatever, he and his wife went on a Caribbean cruise, you know, and we were like, wow, you know, he found another job, but they went on a Caribbean cruise, you know, and I just, wow, and he made the statement, he said, well, you saved me so much money on roof, I was able to go on a cruise. It's like, wow, you're welcome, you know, I've never been on one myself, okay, I guess I need to do a few more roofs, and I don't know, but I didn't get to go, you know. Then a little while later, he made a statement to me, he said, well, my wife doesn't know if you really like her. It took me by surprise. Okay? I mean, I put a whole new roof on your house for free. And you don't know if I love you? Don't know if I like you? Okay, now watch this. I'm thinking, what I did tells somebody what? I love you. I love you. That's why I came over and did it. They're thinking what? That's not how you say I love you. It must be something else. Now, does everybody follow me through? So the language I was speaking, what happened? They weren't hearing it, okay? Now, that's what we're talking about. Now, in a house, families, couples, things like this happen. Someone's talking, but the other person's not hearing. We're not in the same love language. Is everybody with me? So if I do something like this today, maybe you can pay attention a little bit more and say, okay, that's their way of loving me. I get it. That's their way of loving me. Or you can say, the way I love people isn't the way they hear it, so let me try another method. And maybe they'll hear it a little bit better. Does that make sense to everybody? So again, that we have this. So again, there's like five languages of love, okay? Not my idea. Stole it from somebody's book. Letting you know I got it from Dr. Chapman's book. Okay, you can get the book. And get it more in depth if you'd like. But again, the first one is this, okay? This is very easy. The first way that we love people is what? We tell them. Did you hear about the old farmer that got married, or the farmer got married, and he told his bride on the day he got married, he said, honey, I love you. If it ever changes, I'll let you know. And basically that was his idea of what? Not going to tell her again. She should know it. I told her. Okay? If it changes, I'll let you know. But until I tell you it's changed, I love you. Now, how many of you think that a couple years later, without hearing the word, she was okay with that? Okay? People need to hear it. Okay? You know, people need to hear it. Now, none of us are perfect at this. Okay, I don't want husbands and wives looking at each other right now saying, that's you, or hey, you don't do that. Or okay, nobody's perfect at this. We're not. Okay? All right? But again, you need to hear it. Again, using words to affirm the other person. This isn't just, I love you. It's compliments. I guess I think I have that up there. It's compliments, you know? trying to stop and, just compliments. I think I was at Dr. Fremont giving a seminar one time. I remember him saying, look, you've got to compliment your wife at least once a day. Don't miss it, okay? At least, he said. That's just a start. Find more. But again, words of affirmation, just, honey, I love you, or, hey, that was a great meal, or, I love the way you work with the kids and how you take care of the house. And again, do we all do that enough? No, we don't. But people need to hear it. Am I right about that? And I'll tell you what, you go out, now watch this, you go out and do something for somebody, spend some extra time doing something, and maybe it's a special meal for a wife or the husband, or a husband cooks something special, whatever. And after it's all over, nothing is said. Nothing is said. What goes through your mind? I'm not doing that again. I'm not doing that again. I mean, I just spent all this time, and I'm not doing that, okay? And again, words communicate your affection, your appreciation of other people. Again, we need to hear it. Right? We don't want to be like that farmer who said, hey, if it ever changes, I'll let you know. Say it. Okay? Maybe at the end of the day, we need to get a routine. Hey, did I tell you I loved you today? Okay? And if they say, yeah, 25 times. Okay, well, okay. Or, no, you didn't. Well, I need to make sure I do. Okay? And again, people just need to hear that they're loved. And again, this is just not husband and wife. This is families. Okay? I mean, I've had children or students talk to me and say, in all the years I lived in my house, my dad never told me he loved me. Wow. Okay? You better do it. Okay? Again, communicate. Well, they ought to know because I put food on the table. Watch this. You're speaking a different love language now. Are you following me through? Okay? They want to hear it. And if you say all of a sudden, I need to do this, just do it. If your kids come to you, well, you're just doing that because Pastor told you to. Yeah, but I'm going to continue it because I mean it. And I should have been doing it, but I didn't. But again, words communicate these things. Okay? And so again, I put down here, how often do you like to hear I love you? Okay? It's okay to say. Okay? Say it to your children. Say it to your grandchildren. Say it to people around you. Hey, love you. Appreciate you. Glad for what you do. I don't do the best I do, but there's a lot of things that get done around this church that sometimes I don't even know who to thank. But from time to time I stand up and say, hey, some things got done, and thank you if you're doing them. And again, other people do things, thank you so much, and I don't say it enough. Okay, but just letting them know, I appreciate what you do here in your ministry. So words of affirmation, tell somebody. It's okay. If somebody's done something well, let them know, okay? It really does, it really goes a long way. Puts a little bit of a jump in their step, does it not? Okay? Puts a little bit of jump in their step and a skip in their step and ready to go. Yeah, somebody said something. Words of affirmation. Does pretty good there, does it not? Let's go to number two then. Number two, here we go. Acts of service. Okay? We call it acts of service. Why? Because actions speak louder than words. Am I right about that? Oh, he says he loves me, but he never... What's the next thing that comes out of your mouth? It's an act of service. He never shows me. Or she never shows me. Okay? And so, again, some people can say, talk is cheap. Words are simple. Okay? You got to put something behind it. Okay? And that goes this way. Again, just something that's demonstrated by thoughtful acts of kindness. Okay, where you do things for people. Now, I'm going to tell you this one. As I list these five things, okay, that I'm going to give you, I'm on number two now, but the five things that I give for me, this is the one I speak the best. It's mine, okay? This is the thing I speak the best. Acts of service. It's not that I find it's easier, cheaper, whatever. It's just, that's my makeup. I do acts of service better than I do the other things. I do. Okay? Again, somebody calls me on the phone and says they need something. I try really hard to do it. I really do. I really try hard to do it. Okay, let me get these. Are they popping out on me here? Here we go. But, again, I try to do the best I can. And I do tell people there was many years in my life where I couldn't give anybody money. But I could work for you. I could help you out. And so I think this is the one I speak the best. Maybe you do, maybe you don't or whatever. Again, doing things like chores around the house, helping out, working or whatever. Again, it kind of goes this way. If they love me, then why don't they do something to show it? Okay? Helping out or whatever. And so acts of service. That's the one I like. Maybe you do it too. And I kind of thought that when I replaced somebody's roof on a house, that was saying what? I like you. Okay? I like you. Now, folks, I've made statements like this, and just so you understand this, one of the things I do a lot is I move people. Okay? I seem to get called into a lot of moving situations. And that's okay, because that's me. That's what I do. But I've made the statement, you gotta really like somebody to move them. You gotta really like them. It's hard work. Okay? It's not easy, okay? And some of you know that moving people is tough or whatever, and some of us will get together. And by the way, if you move or you need help moving things, call us. We got a pretty good crew that does a pretty good job around here moving people. And we got the equipment and things to do it, but that's what we do. So, again, acts of service. Show it. Oh, he says he loves me, but he never, you know, does anything. He doesn't lift a finger to help out around this house. Are you getting this? Okay? So that you understand that. So again, it's acts of service. So words of affirmation, let's say it, and then let's show it there. Again, the next thing would be gifts. Okay? Gifts. Right? People show love by gifts. Folks, this one's not my strong suit. It's my wife's strong suit. It's not mine. Okay? I could go away on a vacation and not bring anything back for the kids. I could go away and not bring anything back. And I would not think a thing about it. Like, well, what'd you bring me? Nothing. Why? Because that's not my thing. Now, but I know that it is other people's love language. So I have got to be aware of that. So when I do something, what do? I get some gifts or whatever. I tell people, going to Panama is terrible. Because where we go, there's just nothing to buy. I mean, it is just barren, you know. There's just nothing there. And you're like, I got to bring something home. And sure enough, you know, I was able to get to a place where I was able to buy some things and did that. But again, receiving of gifts or whatever. Again, you can give without loving, but you cannot love without what? Giving. Am I right about that? Okay, I've heard people say that. So some people, it's gifts. Okay, and a lot of times we might say it's not the size and the cost of the gift or whatever. It's just whatever it is there. A gift says, and I use he or she, but whatever. He was thinking about me. Look what he got for me. Okay, yeah, he went away on a business trip for a week, but when he came back, I knew that he was thinking about me because he brought so and so. And again, that's good. Brought souvenirs or something there. But again, some people give gifts and they love to give gifts. Other people. It's not such a big thing to them. It's the thought that counts. I thought about this. Children give dandelions to their mom, right? They do. Hey, man, that doesn't work for you. Okay? You better give bouquets. Okay? And again, it's the way of showing love, is it not? And we talk about this. We laugh about it. You see a man going down the sidewalk, okay? And as he's going down the sidewalk, he's got a bouquet of flowers. And the lady goes, oh, isn't that sweet? He's taking flowers home for his wife. And the man's thinking, what? I wonder what he did wrong this morning. Okay? That he's got to make up for it. Show some love here. And here's a way to do it. So some people, again, it's the giving of gifts. Right? Just small little things. It's not big, but we've got to do something. Got to take something. Okay? We've got to give something. It shows our appreciation. Shows that we love them. Number four, quality time. Okay? Just time. How many times have you heard, and I would go more with mothers, but dads too, coming up on a special day and somebody would say, you know, hey mom, what do you want for your birthday? Or hey mom, what do you want for Mother's Day? Or hey mom, what do you want? And what is the mom's answer usually that comes back? I just want to be with my family. I don't need a gift. I don't need any fancy. I just want to be with my family. That's quality time that we're looking at, okay? Again, we're looking at, again, giving a person your undivided attention. I've heard my wife say, some of the best times we have is when we are in a car together going somewhere. I got your attention, okay? And she has the phone, okay? And she's got the phone. I have got your attention. Because sometimes life gets busy and we live in the fast lane and we don't spend enough time with one another. And the idea comes down, well, if you really love me, you'd spend time with me. You know, and the answers may come back, yeah, I know what you're saying, it's hard or whatever. Okay, but again, when you're giving person your time, you're saying what? You're important to me. And by the way, we do give time to the things we count important. I don't want to get anybody in any trouble because we went to a ball tournament yesterday, men. But you understand what I'm saying. We do make time for things that we find important. And if you've got somebody that you should be loving, well, you should make time for them. Time. This is how it goes, you know. And you might say, I mean, and here's where the thing comes in. If somebody's key language is time, and you're saying, well, didn't I buy you flowers the other day? Or didn't I clean the bathroom for you the other day? What is the answer that comes back? Yeah, you did, but you didn't spend time with me. You didn't spend time with me, you know. And again, for some men, if you're not spending time with your wife, it doesn't matter if you buy her a brand new BMW, okay? It doesn't make it. She doesn't want the gift. She wants what? You and time. Do you see that? Okay? Would a Mercedes do it over a BMW? I don't know. I think most of you understand what I'm saying. You buy this huge gift. Again, we go on to this. Parents, sometimes, who are more into work than their children, how do they try to do it for their children when they're not spending time with them? They lavish them with toys and gifts and things that are expensive and all that. And you go to the child and say, hey, what about these beautiful things that your parents are giving you? What do they say? I don't care about them. I'd rather they spend time with me. Okay? I'd rather spend time. So again, you're seeing time versus gifts versus acts of service versus words of affirmation. You got to find out the person that's in your family, that's in your marriage with you. What is it that says, I love you? And then that's what you do. Okay? And you might say, well, that's not my language. No, it's not your language. It's theirs. Start doing it. Okay? Learn a foreign language and spend some time. Okay? Start spending some time. Sit down. Okay? And just talk. Over a meal or after a meal. Maybe you need a date night. Go out on a date night and just sit down and talk. Okay? And I'll say, wow, I know that because he's spending some time to me. Again, I put down there no distractions. Okay? No distractions. Again, number five then comes down to physical touch. Okay? Physical touch. Again, I say this, make no apologies for it. Love's physical. It really is. But folks, I'm looking at this way bigger than just marriage or anything like that. This is huge, okay? Huge. I'm going to say this. There is emotional power in physical touch. Now, let me go ahead and go on a tangent, and I'm going to come back, okay? Touch. Touch is powerful. Really powerful. And if we understand how powerful touch is, there are certain people you never touch. Everybody just get that? Because touch is powerful. Or there are certain people that you don't touch except for certain ways. Does that make sense to you? Because the power of touch is huge. Watch who you touch. Watch how you touch. Again, I think most of us understand this, do we not? But touch is huge. And that's why, again, we get to this place where people don't know that that's off limits. I don't touch like that. And I do tell people, I'm a very physical person. I'm a very physical person. But there's some of you here, you're never going to see it. Okay? You're never going to get a recipient of it. You're not the people I should be touching. Okay? But I've got family members. We do a lot of touching. Okay? We do a lot of hugging. We do a lot of things. Okay? So again, when we come to this, watch out in the area of touch. Guard who you touch, how you touch. Okay, does that make sense to you? I mean, there are some people in this world, the most you might ever touch them is fist bump. That's it. Maybe a handshake. We're done. Not going any further than that. I don't know. I played on a ball team. Now watch this. Whether you're on a ball team, now maybe some of you are going to think this is crazy. Touch on a ball team is a big thing. Have you ever watched a ball team? It's huge. Guy hits a home run. What's everybody do? Line up. We do what? High fives. Okay? Fist pumps. I mean, we're touching. but it's appropriate for the occasion and who it is. Am I right about that? Okay, one of the funniest things is, maybe some of you know this, there are times in the big leagues, like when a guy hits his first home run or whatever, when he comes back into the dugout ignores him. They just ignore him. Okay? And he kind of walks in the dugout. And, I've seen guys do this. Maybe you've seen the replays. Some guy hits his first career big home run or whatever. He walks in the dugout, and everybody's just talking to each other, ignoring him. And he's like, okay, man. And he's just like faking like he's high-fiving everybody. And nobody's high-fiving him. And then about, what, a couple seconds later, they all turn to him, and they start high-fiving. And they ignore him for a while. But again, a guy does a great play on the ball field. What do? Give him a high-five. Hey, that was great. Okay? So you can see that there is appropriateness of touch, and you need to know the limits, and you need to know what's good and what's bad. Does everybody understand that? And that's where people get in trouble in the office, and people get trouble where they shouldn't be doing things like this. So again, when you understand what I've got on that screen there, emotional power and physical touch, then you'll watch out what you do. Don't get yourself in trouble. I'm done with the tangent. Can I go back? But there are people in this world that you better be touching, okay? Hugging, kissing, loving all the time, okay? They need it, okay, is what it's going to be. Again, a baby is born. Go over the crib and say, I love you. They don't understand what you're saying. They don't know. How do babies know that they're loved? Folks, it's touch. In Panama, the pastor down there in Tugri, his name is Raphael. I've mentioned him before. I've talked about him. But he had a family member that had a baby and died at birth. He found out about it a long time later and finally found the baby in an orphanage. Okay? The baby was related to him somehow, and I don't understand that, but that's not important. Okay? And he found the baby later. Again, these are Nobi people in the Panamanian society. Nobi people are outcasts. This baby was put in an orphanage and hardly even cared for. Probably most of the people down there would just rather the baby died. Okay? And for the first year of his life, this baby was never really touched, handled, loved, or anything. He's about 3 years old now. I met him last year when he was two. I met him again when I went back a year later. He is three. He has big problems. He has big emotional problems. And basically when I inquired what's wrong with him, they said, well, for the first year of his life, he just lived in a crib, and all they did was change his diaper and stick some food in him, and nobody ever loved him. Folks, you've heard of studies like this, have you not? It affects children. They need loved. They need picked up, okay? They need a lot of attention. That's how they know they're loved and cared for. And if not, and again, so again, this is huge for us that we do this. Again, I put down here, babies understand the meaning of love by what? By touch, okay? And children need touch. Children, and again, when you hear me say the word touch, if I had a better word, I'd use it. But, I mean, you've got to hug them and love them and kiss them and let them know that you love them, okay? And somebody says, well, when's it stop? I don't know. I'll let you know when my children get to that age. Okay? When you stop hugging them and kissing them and loving them, I'll let you know when they get to that age when you stop it. Does that make sense to everybody? Because what's the oldest one now? 30? She didn't reach that age yet. Okay? She didn't reach that age yet. I do tell people that I had to tell my daughter, though, that when I was her basketball coach, I said to her, honey, I said, really, when we go on away games or when we do things, you know what, I'm going to treat you kind of like the other players on the team, because I just don't need somebody on the other team saying, you know that one girl on the team? That coach seems to have something for her. I just don't like what he's doing there. That just doesn't look good. So I always said, you know, in that situation, we'll just, you know, and make sure that everybody knows that, okay, it's okay. But if you don't know she's my daughter, you might misinterpret what I'm doing. Does that make sense? So it'll be above board. But otherwise, you know, we're physical. We hug, kiss, okay? Shaking hands doesn't make it, okay? I don't walk up to my daughter and shake her hand, hey, good to see you. That just doesn't make it, does it, okay? You don't do stuff like that. And again, it's touch that we've got to do here. Again, I think I've got this. We go on the next one here. Holding hands, embrace, kissing, putting your arm around the shoulder, pat on the back. Again, you go ahead and do this. Okay? I've got, you know, three grandkids or whatever. Okay? Hey, they love to crawl up in laps. They love hugs. They love when I mess with them and do stuff. Okay? It's what it's all about. Letting people... And again, if somebody says, well, you know, he never holds my hand. You know, we don't kiss anymore. We don't... Oh, you're sending a message what, maybe? Okay? Now, again, I'm putting this down here. So, Pastor, when do you think people ought to start kissing? Okay? I'm not getting into that. I always told you, watch who you touch, how you touch them, what do what's appropriate. Okay? You know, you're in your teenage years. Stay away from this stuff. Did you get my warning? Okay? Just stay away from it. Okay? You can do the gift thing. You can do the words of affirmation. You can do the service. Are you following me through? Okay? You can give some quality time. Watch out for the touch stuff. All right? Don't do it. All right? Just watch out there. But again... Again, these are things that we want to do here, okay? I just kind of put down here, physical and touch is important among family members. I said that. I want to get it up in the writing there. It is important, okay, to let them know they're doing good or whatever. I've disciplined. I've watched my daughter discipline or whatever. But after one of the children is disciplined, okay, they've been disciplined. They've been sat down. They've been disciplined, okay? How do you end the discipline session? Somebody tell me, how do you end it? You just walk away, right? No, you don't. What do? You hug them, okay? Mommy and Daddy, we still love you, okay? We still love you. And you give them a hug. You don't walk away from it. I kind of put this down. I even thought about this, okay? Let's say there's a man in the church here or whatever, and I've done something to him or whatever, okay? And I need to apologize. Hey, man, you know, I said something the other day about you. I probably shouldn't have said it. I'm sorry. I did it. You know, would you forgive me? And they go, yeah, I forgive you. And I go, hey, we're good then? We're good. How do you usually end the session then? You reach out and shake their hand or something like that. Okay? And you can see that, again, it's touch. Not as involved as family members. But there's touch sometimes. Hey, we good? Fist pump. Okay? How many of you know what a fist pump is? All the kids do, right? Okay. But again, it's just a quick touch. Hey, we okay? Way to go. Appreciate you, brother. And you're on your way. And that's how you let people know that you love them. I'm basically done with the five ways that we love people. Okay? Are you telling people? Are you showing it through acts of service? Gift giving. Okay? Quality time. And then, again, physical touch. As I put these things together, maybe this help your marriage, help you and your family, to show you there are different ways to love people. And maybe what you're saying isn't what they really want. They want quality time, not just words. They don't want any more of your gifts. They want you, okay? I just want to hear you say, Dad, that you love me. That's all I want to have. I just want to hear it, Dad. How do you love people? And again, the people who seem to be the best lovers are those who now know how to talk all five languages. Does that make sense? It really does. So again, if you've never heard those before, hope that's helped you. If you've read the book, I'm definitely not as in-depth as the book would be. However, now I'm going to the second part of the sermon. I better move, okay? I better move. Though it's probably still raining out there, so you don't want to go out in the rain. Okay? It is raining out there. I can see it. It's coming down there pretty good right now. Watch this. I went through the five things. And here was my question. So what kind of love does God want from me? Words of affirmation. Is that what God wants? These people draw nigh to me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Have you ever heard that Bible verse? Oh, they say they love me, God says, but what? They really don't. They say it. Oh, they sing hymns when they go to church. So you know what? Is that really what God wants? Is just lip service? Not really. You know? Again, by the way, is service what God wants? And, you know, some people just serve and they think that's what God wants, but they don't spend time with Him. And so I started doing this, and again, if you remember the verse that we started off the service with, what's God want from me? Does He want my gifts? Not really. That's not really what tells Him I love Him. Again, Christ's love language is different, and it's off of the five things. It's not one of the five things that I know of. Jesus said, if you love me, what? Keep my commandments. That's His love language. As He looks at us, He's saying, keep my commandments. That's what I want from you. Oh, you can sing loud in church. Oh, you can preach, Pastor. Oh, you can put money in the offering. You can bring your 10,000 barrels of oil, it says in the book of Micah, and, you know, thousands of rams, and you can just give and give. But God says what? Your heart is still far from me. You know what? If you love me, keep my commandments. Got some other verses for you. Look at this. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. Okay? And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. I will love him. I will manifest myself. But he that keeps my commandments, that's who loves me. He's not done yet. Again, still in John 14. You had to open your Bibles up to him. Maybe you want to underline some things in verse 15. Go to verse 21 and underline some things. Maybe underline some things here in verse 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him. We will come unto him and make our abode with him. Okay? Again, Jesus has said 3 times in one chapter, if you love me, keep my commandments. Again, the next time, he's still kind of in the same discourse, hasn't moved much. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. Even I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Are you seeing that when Jesus says, if you love me, this is what I'd like to see? I don't just want to hear you sing and say it. Okay, that's okay, but you know what? I really want your heart into it. Again, going on, ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Do you see that Jesus is just keeping hitting this? I mean, this is the same discourse from John 14 to John 15. I believe it's the night of his betrayal. He's still talking to them and saying, you know what? You're my friends if you do whatever I command you. Again, later, John got the message. And years later, when he wrote his epistle, he said, this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And then he added this, after a life of serving Jesus, of a life of, again, in obedience to God, he said, and you know what? When I think about his commandments, they're not that bad. They're not grievous. He's not asking us to do ridiculous things that we can't do. Okay? Okay? With his help. It's not grievous. We can do this. Again, think about the Great Commission. Whenever I tell people, what's the Great Commission? Well, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Is that all we're supposed to do? Again, let's go to Matthew 28, verses 19 to 20, please. Matthew 28, verses 19 to 20. Matthew 28, 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. So in verse 19, it says, teach all nations. Here's my next question. Teach them what? Keep reading. Verse 20. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have what? Commanded you. You know what? We need to teach people that God has given us commandments. His commandments aren't grievous. But as we go around the world and tell people about the love of God, we need to tell them, you know, he's got some commandments and we need to teach them what those commandments are. I don't want to hear, oh no, you don't have to keep God's commandments. No, he said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Let's go to the opposite. Can we just go to the other side of the coin? Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be the friend of the world is the enemy of God. Now see, if you're walking in step and obeying the world's demands, commands, God says, you know what? You're not my friend. You do what the world says. Peer pressure, whatever the world says. If you're doing that, you're not my friend. If you're my friend, you'll keep my commandments, is what you'll do. 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither things of the world. If any man loves the world, what's the next part? Of the Father's not in him. Okay? I mean, you're listening to the world. You're obeying and doing the things of the world. You could care less about me. Okay? We have a problem here. No, there's no love between us because you'd rather walk in step with the world. Again, you say, well, what about God's commandment? Let's just concentrate on two commandments, okay? Two. This is going to be good for the test. Are you ready? Because the Pharisees said that there were 613 commandments in the law. Anybody here know all 613 of them? Now watch this. Can you give me 10? I mean, there are Ten Commandments now. Why? But again, the Pharisees in their rules, the Mishnah and Gemara, as they came down, they said that there were 613 commandments in the law. 248 of them were positive and 365 of them were negative. You know, do this and what? Don't do this. Anybody got that list memorized? I don't. As a teacher this morning, I'm just going to tell you, you only need to know two. Isn't that good? Boiling, how many of them? 613 of them down into what? Two. Are you running with me? Do you know them? What are the two commandments that if you keep them, you're doing pretty good on keeping all the other ones? Does anybody know what they are? You go to Matthew 22. You go there, you'll find out that they came to Jesus and they said, what is the greatest commandment? 613 of them. Okay. What's the greatest? I tell people from reading one time, I found out what the least commandment was. I think it's Deuteronomy 22:5. That if you come across a mother bird with eggs, and you catch the mother bird and the eggs at the same time, you can't eat them in the same meal. That's what they said was the great, that was the most least commandment. If you caught a mother bird and her eggs, you couldn't eat them at the same meal. Now, by the way, though that is so least, and I've told you this, though that is so least, it's written on our hearts. Because literally, when you talk about breakfast foods, it is steak and eggs. It is ham and eggs. It is a pork chop and eggs. But you usually don't hear of what? Chicken and eggs. Bacon and eggs, ham and eggs, steak and eggs, pork chop and eggs. Are you with me? Sausage and eggs. But you don't. Now, there might be somebody who said, well, now there's restaurants offering it. Yeah, but you know what? For the longest time, as we're a nation that wanted to honor God, chicken and eggs just weren't a thing. Why? Because God's rules are written on our hearts, folks. People who don't even have a Bible know God's rules. Did you hear me on that one? They got to fight against them. So if you say, well, chicken and eggs, yeah, I never really heard chicken and eggs. Yeah, because God said that's not what you do. You eat the steak and the eggs. Kill the pig, gather eggs. Okay, get the cow, gather the eggs. But don't kill the mother hen and the eggs and have them in the same meal. Don't do it. Okay, so you can see it. But we know what the least is, but Jesus, what is the greatest commandment? Does everybody know what he said? You know what he said. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with what? All thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. Again, if you want to go to Deuteronomy 6, verses 1 through 5. Again, if you want to do the study, basically, as you get into verse 1, he is saying there, these are the commandments that I want you to keep. And then the first one that comes on the list in the book of Deuteronomy is Deuteronomy 6, 5. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and might. It was the first one given. And so when the Pharisees are saying, what is the greatest commandment? We don't know. Well, if you just read Deuteronomy 6, when it says, here are the commandments I want you to keep, and we'll start with, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. They should have known the answer. And Jesus says, that's what you know. Now, I know I'm doing a little circular thinking or confused thinking or whatever. Okay? I'm telling you, the way you love God is you keep his commandments. Okay, well, what's his first commandment? Loving God. Okay? But I believe that the Ten Commandments were written on two tablets. And the first four commandments were on one tablet, and the other six were on the other tablet. Because the first four dealt with your relationship to God. And if you love him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, you will keep the first four. You'll have no other gods before me. You will make no graven image. You will not take my name in vain, and you will honor my Sabbath. If you love me, you won't have a problem with these four commandments. The other six commandments were over here. And they come along with the second greatest commandment, which is what? If you look at Matthew 22, 34 and go on down through there, and Jesus said, oh, you ask what the greatest commandment is? Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And by the way, you didn't ask for it, but I'm going to give you the second one. It's a bonus. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Watch, if you love your neighbor as you love yourself, you won't have a problem honoring your parents. You won't murder people. You won't commit adultery. You won't steal. You won't lie. And you won't covet. If you love people the way you're supposed to love them, you won't have a problem with this. And by the way, when you get down there to Matthew 22, getting down there to verse 40, okay, Jesus said, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. You know there's 611 other commandments that the Pharisees have? If you honor, if you love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and you love people as you're supposed to love them, as you love yourself, you know what? You won't have a problem with all those other rules. It just won't be so hard. And so basically, when it comes down to it, when somebody says, well, what's the love language that God likes? You know, God loves when you look, when He looks down and He sees you loving your neighbor as you love yourself. He goes, I understand that language. I love when Christians do that. I love when Christians don't think so much about themselves, but they give their lives for others. I like that. Okay? So we have two commandments. Love God with everything you have. Okay? Don't talk bad about His name. Again, don't have other gods before Him. And love for God can't be divorced from love for one's neighbor. You just can't divide the two. If you love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, you will find a way to love your neighbor as you love yourself. It's pretty hard, is it not? And I know the Pharisees in Luke chapter 10, when they were listening to Jesus said this, they tried to get out of it by saying what? Well, who's my neighbor? And you know what the answer came back to be, really? Even your enemy is your neighbor. You got to love him. And he told the story of the Good Samaritan. I was telling people, does anybody ever get messed up with the Good Samaritan story? I do. I really get messed up with it. The other day, and I'll tell a story because Brian's not here. We can talk about Brian Smith because he's not here. But I was coming home from a baseball game. I mean, I had a busy day, okay? I had a really busy day. I had to take the young people, but Mike Gauss helped me, but we had to take the young people down to camp. Okay, came back from camp, okay? And Mike had to make time to help me do that. So he had his car at the shop, and he said, you know, I can do it, but you got to take me to the shop to drop me off to pick up my car. I can do that. So I'm dropping him off to pick up the car. You know, I'm looking at the time. Man, I got things to do. You know, I got to go get my Tahoe. It's back up at the thing. I got to return the church van. And I get a call as I'm coming down Route 99. It's Bob Mahalik. Hey, Pastor, I got a problem. You know, I shouldn't have answered the phone when I saw his name come up on it. I shouldn't have answered. But I got a problem. What's the problem? He says, well, the bus goes for police state police inspection tomorrow, and a brake line just broke on it. He said, we got to get it fixed. And by the way, he said, I just took a load of kids to the pool. I don't have any idea how we're getting them home. The bus has broke down. Okay. You know, so, you know, instead of going right and go get the Tahoe, I turned left and went and got dirty clothes on real quick. Tried to get I'm thinking like, hey, I can fix this bus and get those kids in an hour. I'm a little stupid, aren't I? It's going to take like a day to do it, but we'll do the best I can. So went and got my dirty clothes, got a few tools, crawled onto the bus, working on the bus, you know. Now we didn't get it done, so we had to go get the kids and bring them back in cars, but we did it, you know, made a couple runs, but we did all right. You know, I'm underneath there or whatever, and finally had to get the piece made, got it made, got it on there. I told Bob, hey, Bob, press the brakes. I'm going to bleed them up. I think we got it. He presses the brakes. It leaks over here. And I said, well, when I was putting this on, I was moving the brake line, and it was so rusty, it broke. And I'm like, well, it's late in the day. What am I going to do? Take the brake line off, you know. All of a sudden, I'm leaving there. I get on my phone. Hey, Jason. Hey, Pastor. Yeah, what do you need? I'm running late for the ball game tonight, but I got to go home and change my clothes. I hope to be there. I hope to see you, Pastor. Man, I got home, threw off my dirty clothes, threw on my clothes for the game, went to the softball game, you know. Got there a little late, did I not? But I got in the game, played the game or whatever. Man, I left there and I said, man, I am really hungry. I am really hungry. I don't know. I mean, the last time I ate was like Cracker Barrel, was it not? We had breakfast at Cracker Barrel. Now, an Uncle Herschel breakfast, it'll go a long way. But I mean, we're getting on 8:30 at night now, okay? And I had breakfast. I'm like really hungry. You know, I'm like, oh, man. Now, folks, you have no idea that I know where I am in this story. And all of a sudden, it'll come back to you why I'm telling it to you. I'm driving down 99. And all of a sudden, I look to the right. And kind of off the Shiloh exit, but over there just a little bit, there's a truck with blinking lights on. And I look, and there's Brian Smith sitting in the driver's seat. I didn't see that. I'm hungry. I didn't see that. See, the Good Samaritan messes you up, doesn't it? I need to get home. Because before my wife left, she made me a pot. We made this pot of ham, green beans, and potatoes. And I'm telling you, I'm thinking ham, green beans, and potatoes. Anybody with me on this, man? I didn't see that. Somebody tell me what I had to do. Over to the side, you know. Looked in the mirror. I'm kind of off the exit. And, yeah, you know, and you hate to do this, but I put the car off the macadam and kind of back down the grass. And I get out. What's going on? Well, he said, I got some problems. And all of a sudden I realize I ain't getting ham, greens, and potatoes for a while. I'm not. Okay? Are you following me through here? You say you love God, but you can see somebody in need and just drive on? Really? And by the way, there are two people in the Good Samaritan story that walked by. Who was the first one? A priest. That's like me, the pastor. And I can just hear Brian. Hey, Dad. I'm sitting there with my flashes on, and guess who I saw look at me and keep on going? I saw the pastor. He saw me. I know he saw me. And he just kept going. Okay? And ham, green beans, and potatoes is not an excuse. Is everybody with me on that? So, again, did the best we could. I mean, Dan then showed up, and we got the truck out of the way, got the part off, and I tried to go buy the part, but Pep Boys was closed. But things worked out. Next morning, he got it fixed or whatever. I finally got to my ham, green beans, and potatoes. But how can a man say he loves God and sees a brother in need and does what? Walks by. Do you see that? Leviticus 19, thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. Wow, what a command. Okay? Bye. I'll tell you what, I hope when I'm alongside the road, I don't see you drive by. Because we ought to love others as we love ourselves, is what it says. I'm going to close right here with three verses. I only have one up there right now. We are of God. You a Christian today? Are you a Christian? We are of God. Okay? Now watch. He that knoweth God hears us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Folks, are you listening? Do you hear what God is saying through the Bible? Do you hear what He's saying through John here in his epistle? Do you hear us? If you're from God, you're going to hear it. And this is what He says. Here's how you know that you are a Christian listening to the right stuff. Here's how you know. Hereby we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error, going on to verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knows God. Okay? If you are born of God, if you know God, then you know what? You've got to love one another. Folks, you can't pass it off on ham, greens, beans, and potatoes and said, man, I'm really hungry. I got other things to do. And by the way, if you had asked that priest, why did you just walk by that guy in the ditch? He had a good reason, I'll bet you. Anybody with me? But you know what? We got to love one another. Right? But here's verse 8, and this is the scary one. He that loveth not, knoweth not God. That's a tough one, isn't it? That's a tough saying. It's almost the whole verse. You don't love people? You better check your relationship with God. By the way, I heard the lady sing the song. We need God to love people what? Through us. And if we're born of God, that's how it works. For God is love. Again, there's five love languages. We've already forgotten what they are. They seem to be preached the other day, right? But you know what? If you love God, you will keep His commandments. And His commandments are love Him. Love Him with all you have. And then love your neighbor as you love yourself. And by the way, this leads right into another statement. Because Jesus said, a new commandment I give you. Is not that you just love one another as you love yourself. He said, I'm telling you to love one another as I have loved you. Which is even a step above what was already given. Love people. Okay? You can come up with all kinds of reasons why you don't help people. You're not nice to people. But you know what? If you're doing that, do you really know God? Do you really know Him? Again, let's speak God's love language. Let's love Him with all our heart, soul, and mind. Keep His commandments. And let's love our neighbors as we love ourselves. Father, we pray that we'll speak Your language. And Lord, Jesus said, upon these two commandments hang all the law and prophets. So, Lord, we can't say like the priest, well, I had to go give a sacrifice. I had to get to the temple. No, Lord, we need to stop and help and love one another. Not just as we love ourselves, but as You loved us. And we know how much that is because You died on the cross for us. The ultimate sacrifice, the ultimate love. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man laid down his life for his friends. Lord, help us to love You. And by doing that, we'll keep Your commandments. And Lord, the two greatest are to continue to love You and love our neighbors as we love ourselves. Love others through us. That's our song in Jesus' name. Amen.